Good morning. If you turn in your Bibles to the 118th Psalm this morning, I know the weather is not good. It's going to get worse as the day goes on, but I praise your faithfulness this morning for coming on out. And, you go back to work tomorrow, you can tell folks that you had a preacher that came from Boroughville, and he came dressed the part. And the only folks that'll put on Timberlands with their Sunday best are folks from Boroughville. But no, it's got to do with the weather today. So, but God is good, isn't He? Amen. And the opening text is going to be from Psalm 118, but we're also going to go to Matthew, and we're going to go to Luke as well. It's all going to work in together with the message this morning. We're going to talk about Christ, the stone, and we're going to look at how that stone affects three different groups of folks. So Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23, the Bible says, "The stone which the builders refused has become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." And if you'll notice there's a period at the end of verse 23. Turn over to Matthew chapter 21, verses 42 through 45, the Bible says this: "Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes." There's a question mark there. "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard the parables, they perceived that he spake of them." And then down in Luke chapter 20, starting in verse 9, "Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. At the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. Again he sent another servant. They beat him also and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third. They wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. When the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, This is the heir. Let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. He beheld them and said, What is this? And it is written, The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask now, Lord, in spite of myself, that you would speak to these folks today. Let them hear your message that you have for them this morning, Lord. We claim Isaiah 55:11 today, Lord, that your word will not return unto you void. So, Lord, we ask now for your Holy Spirit's help. And we turn this time now over to you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at the stone, we know that the Bible's talking about Jesus. Okay? And we're going to get to us. We're in the third group. But the first group of folks that the stone is relevant to, and you see it all through these Old Testaments, and you see it through this New Testament, all these New Testament writings as well, particularly the Gospels. But the first one, the stone, is to the nation of Israel a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Okay, to the nation of Israel, it's a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Isaiah 8, verses 14 and 15 say, "And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken, be snared and be taken." Over in, back in Matthew 21, this time over in verse 5, when Jesus came into Jerusalem on the week when he was being crucified, verse 5, which is a fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, the Bible says, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." See, the Jewish folks, all through Jesus' ministry, knew that he was a good teacher. Some of them even accepted that he may have been a prophet. But they had a hard time believing that he was the Messiah, the chosen one, the one that God told to Moses in Deuteronomy 18:50, "I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto you." And that's who they were waiting for. But unfortunately, Jesus didn't fit the bill. And when he came into Jerusalem on that day, in fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, they expected, what did they expect the Messiah to be? A king with a crown on a white horse coming to overthrow and kick out the Roman invaders. He didn't fit that. They saw this man coming in on a donkey, on a servant, as a servant. And we know that's what our Lord is. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's a servant as well. And that's the capacity he came in. He was coming in to serve his Father. He was very close to the cross, where he was going to fulfill his Father's will and die on that cross for you and for me. Over in Exodus 17:6, the Bible says, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink." You know, God followed the Jews when they came out of Egypt. He protected them out in the wilderness. And we know what that rock is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 23:8 tells us, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block." And then the same book, chapter 10, verse 4, "And did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Jesus Christ may have been born over in Bethlehem, but his existence didn't start down there when he was a little baby in the manger. Jesus himself, what the scripture says, followed the Jews through the desert and protected the Jews in the desert on their exodus out of Egypt. The Apostle Paul says over in Romans chapter 9, 32, right on through chapter 10, verse 2, "Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the words of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And then Paul goes on to say, as he gets into chapter 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Back when we were in Israel in 2014, the very last day, I wanted to make another trip down to the Wailing Wall, and I was down there with my nephew. And I was no closer to this rabbi that had this pulpit kind of like this, and maybe from me to Scott. And he was right in that area, and I was on a side access over there. And I watched him, and I don't know Hebrew, but he was crying out to God and holding on to that pulpit and looking up to the sky. I understood some of the names of God that he was crying out to, but I knew that that man was crying out like Paul said. He had a zeal for the Lord, but it was probably not according to knowledge. Probably not a born-again believer, not a Bible believer, but just a Jew lost in the Old Testament, stuck on the law, and not seeing who came to fulfill the law. Okay, that Jesus that we know, who came to not do away with the law, as it says in Matthew 5:17, but actually to fulfill the law, that very same Jesus, they don't know. Okay, so Jesus, when you say that name, he is a stumbling block to them. My wife has a friend she worked with for many years. Her name is Monica. She is a Jew, and she is very zealous about her Jewish faith, but she has come out to our church several times for, we have the Seder meal every time around Resurrection Sunday, and she goes there, and she's going through this whole thing, knowing all the stuff of the Old Testament, And I start to talk to her, and I get to Jesus, and she goes, "No, Rick, don't go there. Don't go there." And she was very stern and adamant about it, because he is a stumbling stone to the Jewish folks. Next, to the Gentile world powers, he will be a smiting stone of destruction. Now, I guess, in case you haven't noticed the world news lately, we're drawing closer to this one world government and this Antichrist, this man of sin, the son of perdition, coming here. There's going to be a one world government and going to be a one world church, too. The rapture, I guess, has got to come first, because as long as there's folks like us around, there won't be no one world church. Okay, unless everybody gets saved, of course. But there's going to come a time when the world is going to be run by this great man. Who is like the beast? Who can make war with the beast? This great world leader. He will bring peace, world peace. He will straighten out the economy. I don't know who he is. He hasn't been revealed yet. And I'll tell you right now, friends, he ain't in the White House now. Okay? He's not there now. But when he does come, the folks are going to say, "Man, the economy is good." Well, you know what? First of all, when the rapture comes, you and I are leaving all our houses, bank accounts, retirement accounts, and property behind. Okay, so they can go up and scoop. They can have all my stuff. I could care less. Okay, I'm going to have a home forever in heaven, and Jesus went there to prepare a place for me, and I'm going to have that forever and ever. My home that's built with wood out there in Boroughville, and all my stuff and my bank accounts, whatever it is, let him take it. I'll sign it over to him. When I get raptured, I'll sign it all over to him. I don't care. But you know what? There's going to be this government, and Jesus is going to come back one day. You know, when that rapture comes, it's going to be a time of tribulation, 7-year tribulation period. But one day, over in Revelation chapter 19, it's one of my favorite places in the Bible, because it's talking about a time that's yet to be. Over in chapter 11 through 16, let me read that for you. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war." What a contrast to the Jesus we read about over in Zechariah 9:9, Matthew 21:5, right? He's coming back as the conquering king. "His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Scott and Dean, we were in the Navy at one time, but we're going to be in the Army next time. Hey, we're going to be in the Army the next time on white horses, coming back with the Lord. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God." Now, friends, I am glad I'm saved, because I do not want a taste of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. I don't want any of that. I might get a wrath, a little bit of a tropical storm coming in. Wind's going to blow. Some trees are going to go like this. Maybe lose a shingle or two off your roof. That's about it. Okay? That's about it. Okay? It's not a Cat 4 hurricane coming in. It's a tropical storm. But when Jesus comes back, the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God is going to be terrible. But we won't have to drink of that cup. "And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all those folks who took the mark of the beast, all those folks who refuse today to believe that Jesus is the Christ, when you go out there and you witness to him, you say, "Can I give you a Bible tract? Can I tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins?" And they refuse that, there's not going to be any turning point for them at that time. They will not be able to repent when they have that. Just check Revelation 14. We won't turn there, but it tells you that once you receive that mark, you are done for. Now, you may live good for a few years. I hope my house is nice and warm for you, but you're going to a place that's going to be a whole lot warmer. Okay? You're going to a place that's going to be a whole lot warmer than my house. And so he is going to be that smiting stone of destruction. When we see over there in Matthew 21, The first part of, or the second part of verse 44, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. That's a picture of judgment. That's a picture of judgment. When the word returns, it's going to be judgment. Friends, we are in the church age. We are in the age of grace. If you're sitting in this building today, you're not saved. Accept Jesus Christ today. Don't wait for that judgment where there'll be no turning back. There'll be no hope. And don't go into that tribulation period. Don't go there. You get a choice. Take the mark or die. You want that choice? Today, take the Savior and live. That's the choice you got today. Take Jesus Christ and live. And finally, that third aspect of that stone is the one that you and I are familiar with. To the church, he is the foundation stone and the head of the corner. Okay, he is our foundation stone and the head of our corner. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 say, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, that's the offer that Christ makes for you today. You know, back in Daniel chapter 2, verse 34, here's the choice that you get if you refuse the Savior. Bible says this, thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, that's Jesus, which smote the image upon his feet, which were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Now, I'll give you a short lesson on that, very short. But in the book of Daniel, it talks about these all these images they see, the leper, the bear, and the, you know, this statue of iron and gold and all these things of clay. And it talks about the kingdoms of Babylon, Persia, Media, Greece, and the first Roman Empire. Well, the revived Roman Empire is what the Antichrist is going to rule over. You've heard of the 10-nation common market that he's going to take over, the one world currency, the one world government, and that's what he will oversee. Well, that's what will be smitten to pieces. And when it talks about the feet that were made of iron and clay, you can have a strong world government like he's going to have, but when it's built up with its people of immoral values and of immoral ways, it's going to crumble. The clay is going to disintegrate and crumble, such as the United States of America we know today. Once a land founded on Christian principles, founded on the Bible, but now it is so sinful, this nation, which does is still strong military, we would say, strong central government, should we say, but it's on a toothpick now because we are so immoral in this land and there is so much sin in this land that judgment could come upon this land at any time. And folks don't know that judgment's not coming now in the United States of America. Hostility, fires, natural disasters, wars, all kinds of nonsense, division, hatred, all these things. Is not God allowing things to happen to this country that we love? Okay? But remember, friends, there's another country I love even more than this. It's a far-off country right now, but one day, Jesus Christ is going to come back and call each of us by name. And I always think that maybe it'll happen in my lifetime, that, you know, the dead in Christ will rise first. Those in the graves will come out. One split second later, you and I will be changed and we'll go up to be forever with the Lord in the air. Kiss the world goodbye as we are going to be forever with the Lord. Now, which aspect of that stone fits you today? I don't know of anyone here that may be an unsaved Jewish person. Is the stone to you a stumbling block? You know what? I know some Roman Catholic friends that the stone is a stumbling block. Okay? They are so caught up in their religion or lack of that they don't want to hear about Jesus, at least not yet. They say, the time will come. I'll be there, you know. And all of a sudden the rapture comes and we're gone, and it's there's no more there, it's done. Okay? Or you part of that one world government? You're going to be part of that one world government. You look to world leaders for help? Do you turn on CNN and Fox and Newsmax and all those stations out there and say, who can I trust today? Yeah, I want you to, but I don't ask who I can trust on those TVs. But there's only one that we can trust. Are you part of the Bride of Christ? Are you part of that firm foundation, as your church is called, this group of believers here, that solid rock, the cornerstone, the precious cornerstone, Jesus? Is he your Savior? If he's not, today has to be the day that you call out to him. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." The only foundation you can lay, friends. It'll withstand all the storms of life, all the storms of the world. Isaiah 28:16 says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Okay, you believe in the Lord, you will not be running around trying to get things ready. They're going to be ready for you. When Jesus carried his cross up to Calvary, he did it all. He paid it all. There's nothing that you or I have to do. Just believe. As Paul and Silas told the jailer over there in Acts 16, they said, "What do I got to do to be saved?" He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Friends, will you fall upon the stone and be broken today? Will you give up your pride, give up your hard-heartedness, give up your love of the world, and just fall down at the feet of Jesus this very day and accept him as your Savior? Or are you going to be hard-hearted and stiff-necked and say, "I don't want to hear that today," and wait, and then be ground to powder when Jesus Christ comes back in judgment? Make that very decision this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word, this powerful word, Lord. In spite of myself, Lord, your word is going to go forth. I ask now, Lord, the hearts of the folks would, in this building today, their hearts would just take this and consider, where do I stand with this today? Am I unsaved? Do I need to make a decision even now? And I do. Today's a day of salvation. Today's accepted time. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Lord, if there's someone out here today, impress upon their hearts that they need to be saved now. Lord, if there's someone here that is saved but hasn't been living for you, they've been chasing the dollar, or they've been fighting with somebody who was once a close friend of theirs, or they've been hard-hearted to the gospel, even though they know that Jesus died for them. And years back, they made a profession of faith. Lord, I'd also ask, say, those folks that have been living for you, that are in this building today, that trust in you and they know you are their sure foundation, Lord, give them strength in these days to live and to be a good witness for you in a world of apostasy and declension today, Lord. I turn this time of fellowship around the Lord's table an invitation over to you now, Lord, and we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.